So, we are continuing a series today called Strengthen. And my message this morning is called Strengthen Your Family. So in everything that we start, everything starts with how we build our lives. We can't give anything that we don't have ourselves. We need to take the time to equip ourselves to be able to give to those around us, and that especially is our family. And I want to use a little bit of a metaphor this morning. Well, it's a metaphor, it's actually real. When you take a flight on a plane, you'll hear the flight attendant instruct you, if we get into an emergency situation, we want you to make sure that you put your oxygen mask on first. Now, why do they do this? Because our first instinct is, well, we should first take care of those around us, and then we'll take care of ourselves, right? Well, in these particular situations, when you get into an emergency and you're trying to help somebody and you run out of oxygen, you can no longer help them. You're gone in those situations. And so what they teach you is first you put your oxygen mask on, and then you start helping those beside you, whether that be your family, your kids, whatever that may be. And I think in the church, we sometimes have the same situation happen to us in church. We sometimes are eagerly busy helping others and deprive ourselves of the nourishment that we need in order to be able to give. And so sometimes we get into things like when you don't take care of yourself, you get into burnout, fatigue, reduced mental effectiveness. All these things happen in our lives because we have not taken the time to enter into the Lord's presence ourselves. We've been helping. And I just want to say, you know, sometimes in those particular situations, you know, our earthly math is always that, you know, if I don't do this, then, you know, this and this will happen. Well, sometimes God, there has a way of multiplying our time. So sometimes when we spend that time with Him, He multiplies what we can, the effectiveness that we can have in the people's lives around us, right? So before we get it too far this morning, would you join me in a prayer before we get going? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are good. You're good to us, Lord. And Lord, what a blessing to be able to worship you this morning, Father. I just pray that as we get into your word, Lord, I know you want to speak to every single person here. People are in different places in their lives, Lord, but I know you have a word for them. I know that you want to speak directly to their heart. I know there's things in our lives that we sometimes miss ourselves. So I just pray that you reveal that this morning, Father, to them. I pray that you speak to them by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you're leading and guiding in everything that we're doing here this morning. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, strengthen your relationship with God. I believe that is where it starts. If you haven't noticed, there's a war that has been declared on the biblical family. Satan has two specific goals in this war: to alienate you from your wife and alienate you from your kids. And he has clever strategies, which some of them we'll go over this morning, on how to accomplish that. And I'm going to speak today, first of all, some of this stuff here on the first part is, I'm going to speak to men. Just because I don't switch back and forth between men and women, some of this is applying to you as well as women. So don't take it out that he's talking to men. No, all this applies to us, right? Listen to what God is trying to say to us this morning. We as men are called to be spiritual heads of our house. So there's a responsibility on us to grow in our relationship and to understand who God is and to have a firm grip on His Word. So I think one of the things is Satan has continued to try to neutralize the men in the lives of their families. And in the lives, and you can probably see that, right? You look around, you look at TV shows, you look at everything, And of course, is this just men behind it? No, it's the enemy coming alongside and saying, you're worthless. The way you are is worthless, right? What you have no, you know, nothing, you don't need to be a part of the family. You don't need to be, and we see that throughout society, families are destroyed and men are nowhere to be found to stand up. So we become inactive. And you know, there's many ways, many reasons why this happens, right? So, you know, in this day and age, we, you know, you come home, you're tired, you don't have the energy to step forward. But I think it's one of the reasons is we ourselves don't realize that we have a responsibility to be the spiritual heads of our house. We have a responsibility to step forward and to lead. Does this mean that our wives don't lead in any way? No, we do it together, and I'll get into that. But my point is, this morning, we as men are to step up. And I was just reviewing a book I had read quite some time ago. It's called Point Man, How a Man Can Lead His Family. Steve Farrar. He talks about something in his book, and I was just kind of reviewing it. I didn't get into it detail, but what he was kind of chatting about was that we have a spiritual anorexia sometimes as men. We somehow cannot get into the Word of God. We just do not. And whether that is, I'm not sure where that stems from, but if you are here today and you have that anorexia to be able to get into His Word, He says, come to Me, all those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we are to press into God to be able to overcome those things. And the other one is spiritual bulimia. And I just thought this was kind of interesting because it gives a good visual to some of the issues that we have. And bulimia is something where you eat the food and then you're puking it back up again. And what it says to me in the Word is, you know, sometimes we will read, you know, we've gotten so far to, okay, we get into the Word of God, but we don't meditate on it. We don't actually gain the nutrients that it is supposed to give us, right? Before we even spend any time on it, we walk away and that nutrient is lost to us because we haven't actually gotten into the Word and haven't actually meditated on it. So this is one of the few of the areas, and I'll kind of be talking a little bit here. I have some more points as we go further. It is a really good book if anybody's looking for something to, you know, how do you lead your family? I would highly recommend it. It's called Point Man, How a Man Can Lead His Family. Excuse me just a second. Just grab a Kleenex. So how's your walk in your relationship? Because in Psalm 37, verse 4 to 6, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the noonday. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So sometimes we have it all backwards, right? We search for the desires of our hearts instead of searching in God. Because when you seek Him and you seek His righteousness, He will give you everything that you desire. So today I am talking to you. We need to kind of, you know, it's one of those scenarios where the horse is before the carriage, right? So we put the carriage before the horse. So this is one of those scenarios where we need to come before God first, and then He will be the one that directs you, right? Yeah, I have a bit of a scratchy throat, so if you hear my voice squeaking, that is the reason why. So commit yourself to the Lord and His ways. So I think that is the call, the call here this morning, is to commit yourself to the Lord. And last week, Pastor Doug was sharing a word, and he had a picture of a tree on there. I couldn't find a good picture online, but I was just thinking how true that is. We want to grow to be a big tree, to be an impressive tree. But sometimes what we don't realize is the roots have to go down deep. Otherwise, when the wind comes, anything comes against us, we quickly fall. And so I'm going to chew a mint because my voice is... So if you can imagine a tree, so a lot of the stuff that goes into the ground, the stuff that you sit in silence before God, the times you spend listening to his voice, the time you spend just hearing what he has to say to you, the time you spend hearing his correction and saying, you know, that was wrong, this, you know, those times are the times that you are growing those roots that deep down. We don't always see the importance of those times, but those times become very evident when the winds of this life come. And I can tell you, the winds of this life come. The enemy makes sure there's something in our lives that comes against us. So we need to have strong roots that go down. In Luke 1, verse 37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So with him, nothing is impossible. We can stand against anything if we are rooted in him. John 16, verse 13 to 15 says, "When the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." We've been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will remind us of what the Word of God says. It will remind us what God is going to do. And if we are not established in him, which I say, you know, we have a helper in us, which is the Holy Spirit. And this helper is there to come beside us. But we also need to know his voice, right? It says, "My sheep know my voice. They hear the shepherd. And from a stranger's voice, they run." Sorry, Maya. Proverbs 2, verse 7 to 10 says, "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in his integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Every good path for wisdom will come into your heart, and the knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." I just like the way that talks about right there. It says, "For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." As we continue to to spend our time before God, wisdom just starts flowing into our hearts. And the reason I say we need wisdom is as we raise kids, as we have a family, and if you have a family, you know, sometimes you're like, I just need some wisdom. I need to understand, what do I do here? So, you know, people don't behave in a direct way all the time. This child is behaving this way, and this one is behaving that way, and if I say this to this and that, you know, it gets confusing. It's only by God that we can actually do what he has called us to do. So we need to sit before him and sit in his presence. Then, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So there's not a chance that we can do this on our own. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 37, verse 20, 23 says, "The steps of man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way." So he establishes our steps on a consistent basis as we spend our time in him. We need to get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. And I think one of the things I've just been reading, and somebody shared a story about how they used to make candles. And he used that story to use it as a metaphor of how our life goes. The way they used to do it is you used to take a wick and they dipped it into a hot wax, and they pull it out, they dip it in again, they pull it out, they dip it in again, and they pull it out. And it would continue to do this until they had a candle. Well, the person that I was reading about, what he was talking about was, this is how it is with us. We go into the world and we're dipped. Is it sin? No, it's not always sin. They're good things. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with what we're doing. It's just busyness, right? It's just the things that we have to do. But we get dipped, and we get dipped, and we get dipped. And so it starts growing. And what this ends up happening is we end up having a hard heart towards God. Because the world has been imprinted on us, and we don't seem to be able to get into his presence. And so that's why, again, I'm talking to you about how do we get into his presence on a consistent basis. Because if we don't come before him on a consistent basis, that wax just builds up in our lives, and we can't seem to receive. I don't know if you've ever been there. You come before God. Yesterday was great. Today, you're like, man, I just can't seem to receive anything. I can't seem to feel his presence. I can't hold these things. Well, that's because we are busy with the things of the world, but we're not on a consistent basis busy with being in God's presence. And this doesn't have to be hours of time before him, which is good. That needs to happen. But it is on a consistent basis. We need to stay connected to him in our daily walk. But we need to have consistency, and I think, one of the things is we need to have a consistent time of reading the Word of God. Now, I've been all over the place, so evening, morning, midday, I've probably done it all, but I've settled on the morning time for myself. And why is that? I find that in the morning, as I come before him, as I spend time in his presence, as I read his word, it sets my course for the day. It sets me up to be able to hear him, to be able to, I've spent my first, I kind of see it as a little bit of a tithing in a sense, right? We give our best to him first. And then as we go throughout the day, he's constantly reminding us that he is with us, right? We need to connect with him on a consistent basis. So even in your lunch and whatever that is, we need to make sure that we're connecting with him. We're, whatever that is, maybe a devotional, maybe you read a piece of the word, something that maybe the Holy Spirit revealed to you in the morning, you're continuing to meditate on. But we need to have something consistent. And I know that's not for everybody, and it wasn't for me at the beginning. I couldn't do it in the morning. I could not get up. I could not stay awake. But over time, I built different habits, right? And I realized that at night is not a good plan either, because there's busyness. And then by the time the busyness is done, you sit down in a chair, you open the Bible, and boom, you're asleep, right? So not very effective, at least not for me. And that might be something might be different for you guys. But my point is we need to find a consistent time when we're getting into the Word of God. And he will meet you there, and he will show you what his word is. Don't get frustrated if you don't get it right away, but be consistent. Be consistently there. And I can tell you one thing that consistency will do is you will start seeing it. You will start understanding. You will start seeing revelation. And don't just read it with your own mind. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight and wisdom in what you're reading. Because the word is not just a physical book. It is the Holy Spirit revealing to you what that actually means, right? Many people have read the word but have gotten it completely wrong because they weren't listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And this is usually a time for prayer as well. And like I hinted at already, prayer is not something that you just do right there and then. I think what is prayer? Prayer is just simply talking to God. But you're also listening. So that's important. I've been there many times, prayed, but didn't listen. So, you know, he knew all about my problems, but I didn't know about any of his answers, right? So we need to be able to hear, we need to be able to listen to him, what he's trying to say. And that's that still small voice, right, that comes. And there is fasting as well. And this is something that I think at many times for myself, a lot of times, my critical part is social media. I have to fast that on a consistent basis because it just gets out of control all the time. You know, oh, just watch 10 minutes. Oh, 2 hours later, right? So it just seems to be one of those things that it just grabs you, and they figured that all out, right? They've got these algorithms. They can figure exactly what you want to watch and what you want to see. None of these things might be bad, but the problem is it's not good either. A lot of times, I got to say, it's not educational. It's just a waste of time. And so we need to, on a consistent basis, whether that's fasting from food, which might be, that is something as well, but also fasting from social media, fasting from things that basically distract us from God. It says, Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." What I'm talking about is we come before God and we sow. We sow the word into our lives. We do not see the fruit of that word immediately. It is one of those things, and like again, I'm coming back to consistency. That word is realized later. Later, when the time comes, when the pressure's on, all of a sudden you find these fruits flowing out of your life. You're able to handle the stress. You're able to do all these things because you've spent the time in the Word of God. You've planted it in good soil, and you continue to do that. So we need to sow the word into our lives. We need to know it. We need to be able to stand on it. God's promises are yes and amen. But if you don't know where in the Bible or what it says, you can't stand on it. You need to be able to, like somebody, I forget now who it was, but anyways, he said you need to have the address for the promises. So you need to know the address of where in the Word of God it says. Maybe you can't repeat it, but you should at least know where in the Word of God you can find those promises and you stand on them, right? And there's many things, and those promises are all different for each one of us on where we're at in our lives and what we need to see from God. And he's one of my favorite authors, Smith Wigglesworth. So I have a quote by him again. Stuart was bugging me. He was saying, if you don't have a Smith Wigglesworth quote, you know, I'm out. Well, I got one. He says, "Believe that when you come into the presence of God, you can have all you came for. You can take it away. You can use it. For all the power of God is at your disposal in response to your faith." What a powerful word. And you know, this is just another point. You know, there's great teachers, people who walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, it gives me such encouragement. That is possible for us. It is possible for all of us to walk in that power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, that candle, right? Constantly dipped in this world. We need to spend time with him. We need to be dipped in that wax, in God's wax, in order for us to be continually built up. So strengthen your relationship with your wife. Like I said, there's a war that's been declared on the biblical family. And one of the places that that hits is in family and in your marriages and so forth. And we all know that, right? We can look around us. People left their wives because they lusted after somebody else. They cheated. Whatever the case might be, there is a lot of pain out there. And we even have today divorce care. And some of those things might not, I'm not saying that's anybody's fault. Well, it is the enemy's fault. He's coming in. He's coming to destroy. But is that the way God wants it? No, that's not the way God wants it. So it says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I can honestly say I could not do what I do if I did not have my wife. And it's not that I don't have the responsibility at home with our kids and all that stuff. You have the responsibility. But man, when you have two people that are, you can't just carry what two people can carry. You can carry what four people can carry because you're in unity. And I think a lot of you know what I mean. There is sometimes that strength, that encouragement that they speak into, especially I can speak for my wife, encouragement she speaks into my life. Sometimes hard encouragement, you know. I don't want to hear that right now, encouragement, but encouragement all the same, and sometimes when we need to hear it, right? So two are better than one, and we need to, this particular relationship is something that we need to continue to grow, and there's many books out there that you can do, and we're running a marriage course right now, in fact, the Alpha Marriage Course. We have a bunch of couples going through it. And, you know, it's not that maybe those people have problems in their lives, but they realize that if they don't keep working on it, it doesn't grow in strength. So we need to see the value in being able to grow, continue to grow in our marriage and what that does for us and what that, the power that that has. And one of the areas, the first areas I think is communication. So often, and especially this day and age, you know, sometimes both people are working out of the home. Communication is massive, right? All of a sudden, you start running two different lives. You're going through these things at work, and you know you don't have anybody to talk to because you're both busy, and you can't define the time to be able to communicate what's going on, to be share in what's happening in each other's lives, to share the struggles and frustrations that you're going through in particular areas. That needs to happen on a consistent basis. And one of the ways that we find is, and it's been a hit and miss. Sometimes, you know, we've gotten there too, where all of a sudden you're too busy to pray together, all this type of stuff. And coming back to it again and again, let's just make sure we're praying together. And what a powerful thing, because you hear the heart of the other person as well. As we both pray together before God, as we're pressing in to say, hey, you know, I'm worried about one of our kids is this, you know, how do we deal with that? You know, all those things. We start growing in the same heart, we're pulling in the same direction, I guess is what I'm trying to say. What a powerful thing to be able to pray together. And I can just tell you, this was not an easy thing for us to do initially. Because I don't know what that was. Well, I know what it was. Like, the enemy has put a barrier. He's trying to put a barrier between us and our wives to be able to be vulnerable, I guess. To be, emotional, available, right? Or all these things. So I think it takes a bit of effort to go into that process of being able to show that vulnerability as we pray and all these things. So it is something that takes effort and it takes time to be able to become natural for you to pray. And I think the prayer itself flows into multiple areas of our lives. Like, you don't know how often that becomes so effective. I know that Yolanda's praying for me. I get a scripture in my text, you know. Hey, I know you're dealing with this. Boom. You know, wow. That, you know, it just gives you courage because you know you have somebody that has your back. So we need to, and one of the other areas is date night. And I guess this comes back to communication again, but, you know, as we're going through the marriage course, we're leading it as well. And one huge thing I right away, you know, again, you know, date night can be so easily pushed out of the books. You know, we don't take the time to go, and it doesn't have to always be expensive, but to go for a coffee, to get out of the house, to go somewhere just to spend time together, just to do something together, to be able to date each other again. We need to make that, like, man, the importance of it is incredibly critical. And I know when you have young kids, that's always a challenge, right? You know, babysitting, all this stuff. But sometimes maybe that is just, oh, the kids are all in bed. Okay, let's watch a movie together. Let's do something together, right? While they're sleeping or whatever. But the critic, just being, again, pulling in the same direction. And I think this takes a consistent, constantly coming together. Whether that's a date night, whether that is just prayer. We need to do life together. Even though we're not together all day, we need to make sure that we're doing life together. I think this is one of those things that really glues us together in our walk, right? And one of the other areas is, you know, there comes a point in time where, you know, marriage needs to be above your children. What do I mean about this? You know, we can get into a zone where our kids matter more, right? We have to take care of these kids. We have to, oh, they need this, they need that, you know? That will never end. But we need to sometimes say, sorry, we're going to go out, we're going to get together, we're going to spend time together, because I can tell you, it's again one of those things, the horse before the carriage, or the quick carriage before the horse. You know, if you're spending time just on the kids, then your marriage deteriorates. Who does that affect the most? The kids. But sometimes we can get so focused on that particular area that, oh, we just got to take care of the kids. And meanwhile, we're not taking time for each other and to grow together, right? Which long term will be more effective for the kids. Not going to bed angry. This is hard to do. You know, at times we you know how it goes. All, you know, kids, tiredness, all these things happen, and we get frustrated with each other. So we need to, on a consistent basis, at least in our marriage, I very rarely have we gone to a place where we're going to bed angry. I consistently, because I believe this is a place where the enemy can get a foothold into your lives. If you are in that place where you go to bed angry, I think we need to, this, it's been one of those things, and I don't know why it was so strong in my mind, maybe the way I grew up, the way I seen my parents arguing, yelling, all these things happen. I never wanted to be that way. Of course, you have arguments, but at the same time, I did not want to go, and it says in the Word, right, do not go to bed angry. I do not. So it's been something that we've worked really hard at. And then, you know, maybe we haven't agreed on everything, but at least say, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that or done this or whatever the case might be. Let's talk about it tomorrow when you know, we're rested and whatever. But at least you're not going to bed angry, right? So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we are to realize that this is not just we're not just fighting a person just in front of us. There's an enemy that is behind the scenes that's causing all sorts of stuff, and he might be pulling on the our strings where we've been hurt in the past or something like that. You know, all these things happen. My point is, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting an enemy, and we need to keep that consistently in our minds, to not be offended at our partner because they said something or this or that. I know that's hard to do, but we need to realize that there is an enemy that wants to just whisper things into our ears, offenses, all these things, right? And we need to be wise to him and what he wants to do in our lives. Strengthen your relationship with your kids. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know that this reality, you don't always see it played out. Maybe I can say it, especially in the church. We hear numbers of kids leaving the church like they've never left the church before. Why is that? Got a promises of God here that if you raise your child up in the way of the Lord, that he will not depart from it. I believe sometimes down the road people will come back to the Lord, which happens all the time. But I think the thing that it speaks to me is sometimes we need to live out a walk with God that is authentic and real. If our kids see, we speak the words, but they don't see nothing in us that would attract them to God, why do they want to follow what they don't see makes us happy? So the point is, we need to live our lives in a way that our, and trust me when I say, your kids are not, they're not listening to what you're saying. They're watching to what you're doing. You know, sometimes you want to say, you know, do what I say, don't do what I do, you know. But unfortunately, they're always watching, right? They're always seeing. They're always seeing. So how do we walk? Does this mean that we can't make mistakes? Does this mean that I have to be perfect, otherwise, you know? No. That is a fact. That you have to be honest. And I made this one of the things in my life that I would apologize if I made a mistake. So if I make a mistake, and sometimes, oh, I got mad over this thing, and it wasn't that big of a deal, and so I need to go back. Hey, you know what? You know what? That was my mistake. I made a mistake there. I got mad, and I shouldn't have gotten mad, and blah, blah, blah. So you have to apologize. You have to own up to your own mistakes. What does this teach your kids? It teaches them, you're not right all the time. I'm not infallible. God is, right? So we need to teach our kids that it's okay to make mistakes, but we also have to own up to those mistakes. We all slip up. We all do little things that maybe are sometimes not right, but how do we go back? How do we make sure that we apologize? And I've tried to make this a consistency, and of course you don't know the fruit of it all, but I at least hope that shows them that, hey, because I know I've never heard an apology from my dad. You know, he was always right, but you knew he wasn't right. So we need to make sure that we show our kids that it's okay. And I think this is a way for us to show them that, you know what, we all make mistakes. We're all, you know, we need to work together, right? One of the other areas is Steve Farrar talks about this. He says, quality time versus quantity time. Now, I know you probably, a lot of you know that. I've used it myself. We're going to spend quality time. Not quantity, but just quality, right? Because we're busy and all these things. But he says, the problem is we just don't know when quality time is going to show up. That's why it's critical to have quantity time so that you have quality time. The point he's trying to make is we need to spend time with our kids. And we need to spend quantity time, not just quality time. Quantity times allows times when you least expected, they're asking you a question. When you least expected, they're bringing something up. But you're just walking beside them. It's not like you're sitting across from the table. Okay, you tell me all your problems now, and then we'll deal with them. No, sometimes that's not the way it works, right? They're not willing to come up. You know, maybe it's just in a casual, right beside their casual conversation that they're bringing something up. So, quantity time, not just quality time. I'm going to try to read this through, and I hope I'm able to put this across in a certain way. Steve Farrar, he was kind of talking about how, what would Jesus say to men of this age if he was speaking today? And so this is, he's speaking that the way Jesus would maybe be speaking to us today. And I thought it was helpful, so bear with me here. When I saw the Father, he was filled with dismay because so many quit, so many were set aside, and so many were plateaued and directionless. They had lost their zest for leading. They had no clear philosophy or direction for their leadership. They were leaderless leaders. When they said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the fathers with clear direction are few. As the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth knowledgeable, discerning, and direction-oriented fathers into the harvest." God wants us to realize that our first harvest field is our home. Our first place is where our home is. We need to disciple our kids in the Word, in who God is. So we need to make sure that we're spending the time there first to make sure that we're, because so often we're winning other people, but we meanwhile we lose our own kids to the world. So another thing he was saying, Steve Farrar again, we are not sent to the front lines to die. He kind of goes into the book how in the past a lot of fathers left. They had to go to the war. They had to go to the front lines. They had to literally give their lives for their children. He says, it's not that way anymore. Jesus is calling us to, we are sent to the front lines to live. We are sent to the front lines to live. This really spoke to me. Sometimes we just show up at the front lines, but we don't actually live. What this means to me is that we actually need to live a life that our kids enjoy, a life that they want to emulate, right? We need to live at the front line, and like it says, we need to be a leader in our family, and our maybe it's our work and so many other places. Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise." We need to be careful of how we walk before our kids. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 to 9, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates." What does this mean? We need to live the Word of God before our kids. We need to live it, show examples of it. It needs to be a part of every part of our lives. Like I said, that candle is continuously dipped in the wax. We need to be saturated with the Word of God so that we're able to live it, we're able to express it to our kids and to show them, maybe not with words, but with our walk on how to apply the Word of God. We, you know, and I think I don't need to say this, but, you know, we need to watch more than ever what's going on out there. The demonic force that is against our children, that wants to take them and wants to speak an identity into them that is so insane. But you have people who seem to be logical, agreeing with it and walking with it. I am just outraged at the demonic, how the demonic has come in and made it so incredibly normal for people A person, a kid, who cannot even buy alcohol, which gets them drunk once, is able to make life-altering decisions without their parents. How insane is that? If you cannot see the devil behind that, I don't know if you can, you need to really open your eyes. And this is all, if you speak a word against it, they come against you in droves and in force. What a demonic, you can just see the darkness that has grown in our society, the normalizing of this kind of evil. Like, you can just see the rapid decay. We more than ever need to stand against this force. And how do we stand? We stand with God. We stand in our duty that we've been called to. We as men have been called to stand, and women as well. Like I said before, you know, this word applies to everyone. But, you know, I'm calling out the men because I think so many men have shrunk back because of what's been happening in the world. They've shrunk back their responsibility because of what society says and the value that society puts on them, right? So we are to be the ones that speak identity into the lives. And I'm getting over time here. I better start buoying here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46 to 47 says, "He said to them, 'Take heart, all the world.'" Let me just read that again. "He said to them, 'Take to heart all the words of by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all that the words of this law. For this is no empty word for you, but your very life. And this word you shall live long in the land, and you are going to over to the Jordan to possess.'" So we are to speak the word on a consistent basis. Just going through. Again, in Psalm 146, it says, "The Lord watches over the sojourners. I just want to, and he upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin." I just want to kind of say this, you know, some of us have grown up without fathers. Some of us have, maybe we had a father, but they were absent. They were not there at home. They weren't present. God, and I know that personally in my life, God has fulfilled that role. He's brought many people into my life that have spoken words and that have encouraged me to live on. So I just want to encourage you that just because you didn't have a father doesn't mean that God is there. He says, "I will be the father of the fatherless." And so he made a promise that he will be there guiding and leading you, right, fulfilling that promise. And the last thing I just want to mention is as we get into, and one of the other ones is strengthen your relationship with your spiritual family. So I just want to mention that here today. I'm going to skip over some of the scripture, but, you know, as a church family, you heard that this morning, we are a spiritual family in this place. And so many times we are spiritual mothers and fathers to the people that are coming in. And so even though your kids have left home, maybe God is leading you to be a spiritual father or mother to somebody that's in the house here this morning. Maybe he's going to put somebody beside you, and I know I can testify to that. People have come into my life and come beside me just to walk with me, just to guide me maybe in scripture and understanding, you know, because we are called as a spiritual family, like you said this morning, the hurting, the people, we all come into this place. And we all need to make sure that we are applying our gifts and that we're walking beside each other and encouraging each other in the Word. And one of these places that we do that is, of course, we do that through small groups. So as you join small groups, you get spoken into, right? You get prayed for. You get you develop as a disciple. And one of the other places maybe is just maybe serving. I know I came for a long time to this church, and I didn't serve. And I always felt like I wasn't completely, you know, you're not completely in. And I think the only thing I can say is when I started serving, all of a sudden I got to know a lot of people. all of a sudden I was more involved. I was moved into the center, I should say. I wasn't around just the outer circle. You know what I mean? And the outer circle is not just because we want to keep you at the outer circle, but I think it's a step that we have to take. We step in, we start helping to serve, we go to small group, but then all of a sudden we feel there is a support system there that is speaking into our lives, right? So that brings us to the end of our message. So I just want to reiterate, strengthen your relationship with God, strengthen your relationship with your wife, and strengthen your relationship with your kids. And lastly, strengthen your relationship with your spiritual family. So join me in the prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, because you are good to us, Heavenly Father. I just pray that as we went through your word this morning, I pray that you, the things that you convicted us of, Heavenly Father, help us to be able to come before you, Lord. You say that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and I'm faithful to give. So we know that you will give us insight, you will give us understanding as we walk, learn to walk in you and learn to obey what your word says, Heavenly Father. So I just pray, give wisdom, give direction, Heavenly Father. I just pray a blessing over every person that's here today. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead and guide them. I pray for protection over families here. And Lord, I just want to speak to anybody that's out there this morning that maybe hasn't received you as Lord and Savior. I just want to ask you, if that's you this morning, that you haven't accepted him as Lord, and you maybe want to do that this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer to accept him as your Savior. So God, just repeat after me. God, please forgive me for all that I have done wrong. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. From now on, I am following you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can have the power to change for the rest of my life. Amen.